can start online. The reason I shared that was that there's such a strong presence of God. God wants to take those times. If you're joining us online, we've had an extended altar and worship time. And the reason I'm sharing that with online is it's vitally important to know that we need quiet time with God. We need to get before God's face and hear His voice, listen to what He's saying, be comforted by Him, be encouraged by Him. Because if we do not take quiet time with God, we end up taking all of that place for ourselves. And we end up operating out of a place of self instead of out of a place of God. Instead of walking with God and talking with God, we end up walking on our own and talking our own way through things, making our own decisions, making our own way prosperous per se, making our own decisions in life. But out of that secret place, you receive the Word of God and you promote and put what He says to do in practice. And it not only shifts the situation and the circumstance, it changes every detail beyond just what you see. What I'm saying is the mystery of God and the all-knowing God imparts to you a little portion of His plan for you to get the victory and for you to walk through this little portion of life that we have here on earth. But it's out of that place that He personally, literally personally, when I mean personally, I mean individually, closer than marriage, you as an individual, He will impart to you even the details about your best friend, your partner, your spouse. He will even give you the details to be able to operate and function in marriage. That close, like literally, how to live out your life, He'll speak directly to you. And He's done it through His Word in millions of people's lives already. But that secret place is allowing the Word to come by the Spirit to your spirit. See, if we just take the Word and we read it and we only try to get it through our intellect, we stop what the Lord wants to do on the inside. And we literally stop where faith starts. Because faith is of the heart. And if we operate out of the intellect and not the heart, we're plugging up what the true Word is saying. Because the Word says we walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. So if we walk by the flesh, we're neglecting the Spirit, so we're cutting off the divine nature that God intended us to walk in and to live in, and we wonder why we struggle in things. We wonder why we have difficulty. And I'm not saying there won't be struggles in life and difficulties, but how you perceive them and how you operate and walk through them is directly affected out of how far the Word has gotten in here versus in here, or not even in any of it. You understand what I'm saying? And that's the world. They have no concept of God, so they're strictly operating out of past experiences. So if you have a real bad life and grew up in a bad home, and that's what you know to do, that is why alcoholism and these types of things carry from generation to generation. It's not a curse of the enemy. It is, but it's also man not taking his rightful place in God to break the power through the name of Jesus and start living outside of the curse and in the blessing. Amen. Amen. So the more you allow the Word to interject and come on the inside of you, the more you can just remove the curse, remove the lies, remove the past negativities and say, you know what? This is what God says about me. This is where I'm going to walk. This is how I'm going to talk, contrary to what everything else says around me. And I'm bringing this up because we're living in a time as believers, and I'm mainly talking to the church, amen, because it's Sunday morning, and 90%+ are already saved, amen. So there's a teaching time here. And there's so many people that know enough of the Word of God to know when something happens with Israel, it's like a little alarm goes, phew. Something's happening. Why is that? Whether you know a little bit about Israel or whether you know a lot about Israel and Jerusalem, as a believer, your spirit automatically says something is going on because the whole Bible revolves around Israel and Jerusalem. Every prophetic word in Scripture has a tie to Jerusalem and Israel. So when something is happening there, instantly believers are like, What's Jesus coming back? What's going on here? Is this the end of the time? But the Word of God shares with us what needs to take place and why it needs to take place and how it's going to take place and what we as believers need to do to process through what's taking place. I'm sharing that because there's an essence of fear in the body of Christ based off of what's happening in Israel right now. But the Bible does not say the believer should have fear when Israel goes to war. It doesn't. And Matthew 24 shares with us that. I'm sharing this because you may not think it or understand it, but there's a lot of people in the body of Christ that have a lot of questions about what's going on right now. And as a pastor, I can't stand here and say, well, you know what? I'm going to come up with a nice, fun message today. No, I got to deal with what's going on in society. Amen. You got to deal with what's going on. What is the church if it's not dealing with what the church is dealing with? If we don't minister to help the body of Christ deal with what they're dealing with, what are we doing? What are we doing? If you had a business, but you do nothing with the business and you just do whatever, you just take the money from the business and spend it all and never reinvest in the business, you're not going to be in business much longer. You have to deal with what's at hand. And the church is suffering to a degree, and there's a lot of people in the church in fear about what's taking place. So guess what? I'm coming to share with you this morning to get the fear out of you. Amen. To help you understand that what's happening in Israel shall come to pass. It's biblical what's happening. What happened with Russia and Ukraine is biblical. Amen. It's prophetic what's taking place. And we're not to be in fear about it. We're not to be concerned or in worry about. We're to pray and to stand with Israel. Because the Bible says, blessed are those that stand with Israel and cursed are those that don't. So right there is where we need to stand by faith and say, you know what? We're with Israel. New Freedom Church, the body of Christ is with Israel. Do not get caught up with what society and the government is doing. Don't let that fear you. Let faith come and fill that place. When you read Revelation, it shouldn't put you in fear as a believer. Revelation is just the end of the church age and the millennial reign and what's going to take place for the church. It's good news. This whole Bible is good news. Now, if you read it and it's bad news to you, it's because there's something bad thinking that's going on or sin in your life that is convicting you or condemning you that you're not good enough or you're not going to make it into heaven or it's going to be bad and you're going to have to go through the tribulation and all that kind of stuff. But when you read it for what it says as a believer, the whole Bible is good news to you. Not just the Gospels. The whole Bible, the whole Word of God is good news to those that are willing and obedient to follow it. It's really good. Heaven is good. Amen. And hell is bad. And as a believer, you're not going to hell. You're going to heaven, so guess what? It's good. But you can pray for those and witness to those that haven't made that decision yet. And that's the burden that may be on your heart. But don't let a lying burden of hell come onto you. You, by faith, go share the good news that heaven can be for them. Do you understand what I'm saying? What's happening in Israel, it's a shame that people are being mistreated, killed, raped, and all that. I get that. But that's been happening from the beginning. They've been against Israel from the beginning. They've been plundering Israel from the very beginning. And if we understand what's taking place, it totally allows us to be at peace and to pray by faith and to declare and to support Israel. And not stand, go coddle up in a corner and or get on Facebook and be like, oh, I can't believe this, I can't believe that. Read your Bible, church. It's easy to believe when it's written in it. Do you understand what I'm getting at here? When we follow the Word of God, it makes peace in our life. No matter what's going on around us. Let me go to Matthew 24. Everybody say, I'm there. Good. Verse 1. Then Jesus went out. By the way, I have no idea what the title of this sermon is, because it's just coming to me. Matthew 24, verse 1. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Verse 3. Now as he sat at the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? So they had questions just like we do today. You understand? When's the end coming? How's it going to look like? What's happening? Why is this taking place? It's okay to ask questions. The important part is where you get your answer from. Amen. Everybody's asking questions, but where you get your answer is the key to where your heart is going to be established, where your faith is going to be established, and where you'll be able to stand in life. Amen. When I have questions about pain in my body, and I say, why is this, Lord? Your word says this. And then I start applying what God's word says to my problem or to my issue, and then the Lord comes and delivers. But if I get a word from somebody else that's like, well, your family's DNA is that way, you know, you're going to be that, and that's just the way it is. Well, that's the word I got, so that's what I believe. The problem is a lot of people ask questions, but they're getting the wrong answers. And you're going to see something in this next couple of verses of why. Verse 3 again. Now he sat on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age. Verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, so everything that's taking place in society that we see with Jerusalem, with, you know, one world government, with all these things that are taking place that are signifying or signs of the end of the time, the church age, this is the first thing Jesus says. And please catch this. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceive you. That is the first thing Jesus said about end times. Do not be deceived. Do not allow what happened to Adam and Eve in the beginning happen to you now. That's how the enemy operates. He deceives. He's a liar and he's an accuser, and he uses situations and he uses people to deceive others. The first thing he didn't say is wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes and all things. He's speaking to the heart of the disciples, the heart of the believers. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. So how do you not be deceived? You know the truth. If you know the truth, you're free and you cannot be deceived. So when you're born again, you know you're not of this world. You're of His world, the kingdom of heaven. So no matter what happens here, you already know where you're going. Then you don't have to be deceived about, oh, well, I don't know if I'm going to make it. No, you know that you're going to heaven. You know you received Jesus, and that's rooted on the inside of you. So many people I talk to that say, I go to church, but they don't know that God loves them. And they don't know if they were to die, whether they'll go to heaven or not. And I think to myself, the truth of God's word is that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. You can know that. You can know your eternal destiny. So it doesn't matter what goes on around you. You already know. I already know my last name is Patterson. Nobody can convince me otherwise. I know who my brother is. I know who my wife is. I know who my kids are. Nobody can share. And the same thing concerning the Word of God is that detailed in my life that you're not going to move me off of it. You're not going to move me off of healing's not for today. You're not. I've been healed by God personally. I speak in tongues personally. You're not going to tell me tongues aren't for today. You're not going to tell me they're the devil's language. No. Why? Because I've experienced it. I know it. It's in the inside of me. I know God is good and every perfect gift comes from heaven. So everything negative is caused by sin. I know that. So when someone is mean to me, I already know I don't war against flesh and blood. I don't need to swing at them. I need to say, Lord, there's a root on the inside of them of sin that's causing this reaction towards me. So I look at that and I pray for them. And it allows me to love them, even though they don't love me at the moment. And it's just like the testimony of someone that comes against you. You pray for them. You stand in the gap for them. And 2.5 years later, they come to you and say, you know what? Thank you for being who you are. How did that happen? The Word of God and the truth stood in the believer's life. And they stood in that place and did not react to what they saw. They reacted to what the Word of God said. And when you stand on that, you're not moved by what's going on. Because you already know Jesus is coming back and he is going to establish a new Jerusalem. It may look bad for a while. There's going to be a 7-year tribulation. There's going to be Armageddon. There's going to be the Antichrist rising up. Things are going to look good for a season. All those things are scriptural. And then Jesus is going to come back and just be done with it all. And a new heaven and a new earth where we'll rule and reign. For 1,000 years. And when you know that, you don't get moved by the details. See, how often have we as believers, and you don't have to raise your hand, you don't have to put a number in your own head. Don't say it out loud. But how many times have, depending on what place you're in, where your faith is at a certain point, the information you received, how you judge that was based off of where your faith level was that day. Meaning, if you feel bad, you're tired, and you're hangry, and somebody says something to you, your faith seems to be down here because you're focused on how you're feeling. Your reaction comes out of the lower level. But when you're at peace, you're at joy, things are good, amen, and someone says something negative, you almost get to a point of laughing about it. Because you're seeing it that, you know what, I know God can handle this situation. Because I'm at a place of faith. That I'm not believing what I see. I'm speaking what God's Word says of what I want to see. And that's where the disciples are. They're asking. And Jesus said, take heed. Pay attention that no one deceive you. I find that ironic that that's the first thing. And that's the very first thing that entered sin into the world was Adam and Eve being deceived. The enemy has not changed one lick. People that know the truth will be made free. So when you know the truth, you're set free. And you don't allow deception to come. The issue is people don't know the truth, so they believe a lie. And I've tell you, there's many times where I believe things, and I don't know if I've shared this, but this will make you laugh. This will make you laugh, and you think, I can't believe he was so foolish. My friend, I won't say his name, he was my brother's friend, his mom had Elvis pictures all up over the house. And he said, my uncle's Elvis Presley. And I believed him. I believed him. I mean, for like a couple years, I believed him. No Presley in that family. And none of the inheritance of the Presley family ever trickled down that way. But I didn't know the truth. I believed what he said. He was such a great friend. He told me that there was bears outside in the backyard. So I wouldn't go outside because I was scared of the bears. That's an awesome person, isn't it? Share all these things. We're still friends to this day. I still talk to him. But thank God I know the truth now, where I can go in the backyard and not be concerned about bears. You understand what I'm saying? But if you believe, if you don't know the truth, you'll believe a lie in a heartbeat. And I share that funny story because everybody's life can be filled into that gap of where they are now in that goofy story I just shared. So everybody can deal with instances in their life where they believed. Maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's drugs. Oh, you do it one time, it'll be all right. Just take a sip. It's no big deal. Just shoot this or just sniff this. Snort this. Sorry if my terminology is right. It's not something I follow that often at all. But I want you to understand something, that deception is the key of the enemy's ways of doing things. And if he can use people, if he can use money to deceive you, he'll do anything he can to get you out of the will of God and believe a lie. Because he knows if you believe a lie, you're going to reap the fruit of that lie. And a lot of lies lead directly to fear. So there's going to be men and women that literally tell you untruth about end times, false prophets, false teachers. And I'm sharing that not to scare you. I'm sharing that to get into the Word yourself and to know the truth. Amen. Amen. Study it out. Study it out so you're not deceived by man or any other situation. Don't be deceived by the government. I know I talk about the government a lot. But my golly, there's a lot of lies there. And if you listen to it, it will deceive you. Why in the... I can't even go there. Drives me crazy if I think about it too much. Drives me crazy $6 billion goes to places that fund terrorism. You got to be kidding me. You have got to be kidding me. But it's happening. It's literally happening before our eyes. Anyway, I need to put my flesh under. Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many. So when things get so distraught and so rough out there and so in disarray, if one person stands up and brings some calmness and some peace, people are going to worship that person and think they're the Christ. And that's what's going to happen. In the beginning of the tribulation, there's going to be peace. Because everything's going to be, oh, this person fixed. They have the answer to all of the life's questions. But it deceives many. Watch. I am the Christ and will deceive many. Everybody say many. Many. That means multiple people. That means above 50% will be deceived. Many. Many, many. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the disciples, isn't he? He said many will be deceived. Could it be that many in the church will be deceived in the last days? Very much so. You got to keep it in context. He's not talking about the world here. He's talking about the disciples. Many will be deceived. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not, what? Troubled. Troubled. There's wars and rumors of wars going. Don't be troubled, he says. Don't be deceived by what you see. There's going to be many signs that are happening in these end times. All of them, it's going to share with us, are leading up to what's going to take place. So what's happening in Israel now is a sign of what's coming. It's biblically taking place. And so are these other things. Wars and rumors of wars. And all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Why is this? Because the church is going to experience wars and rumors of wars. The tribulation hadn't started yet. It's a lie from the enemy. There's people teaching that we're already in the tribulation. You haven't seen nothing yet. And I don't want you to see the tribulation. I don't want to be here during the tribulation. And I'm not going to be. Because the church is going to be called away before the tribulation. And I'm going to show you this. I'm trying to help you understand the times we're living in. Amen. So you're not in fear. Don't be troubled by it. That doesn't mean don't pray about it. That doesn't mean don't have a heart for people. It's not saying it. It's saying stay at peace. Trust me. I see what you're going through. I'm coming back for you, church. Prepare your heart. This is why so often I minister in a way to bring repentance and turning in people's lives and conviction, because his redemption draws near. You know what the next prophecy to come to pass is? The rapture of the church. That is literally the next big prophecy to come to pass. The church age coming to an end and the church rapturing. If you're wondering about wars, and we're already there. It's close, church. It's close. Our lives need to be set on fire for God. We need to be focused on the Lord's work. We need to be doing exactly what He's saying, listening to His voice and getting sin out of our lives. We're in a time where thief in the night, twinkling of an eye, boom, the last trump caught away. People aren't going to see it. It's going to happen so quickly. That's the rapture. That literally is the next big prophecy. If you're thinking about the tribulation, if you're thinking about Armageddon, if you're thinking about the second coming of the Lord, let me just clarify that too. The rapture of the church is not the second coming of the Lord. There's a teaching about that. Why do I say that? Because the second coming is Jesus was here on the earth and born on the earth. That's His first coming, all right? His second coming is when He comes to rule and reign for 1,000 years with the church. That's the second coming. He is not coming to the earth during the rapture. He will be in the cloud and we'll meet Him in the air. He's not coming to the earth. So there's teachings that the second coming of Christ is the rapture. No, it's not. No, it's not. We are going to be raptured. The dead in Christ will go first and the church will come with Him. Amen. To meet Him in the air. Just as He left, that's how we will go, the Bible says. I'm just sharing this with you. Amen. Please, please take it in a positive. Amen. Verse 6, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations will rise against nations and kingdom against kingdom. You say, well, that's happening now. It's been happening for 1,000 years. Yeah. He's speaking this to His disciples 2,000 years ago. It was happening then. It was happening in the Old Testament. It's still happening today. Don't be moved by the wars and rumors of wars and kingdoms against kingdoms. That's been happening, but it's all part of the end time of the church. That's what you need to understand. Don't let one significant thing dictate, oh, well, Israel's in battle. I need to get my life right now. If Israel's been in battle, it's time to get your life right. Amen. Every day is a good day to get right with the Lord. And there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So that word sorrows in many translations is birth pains. And I'm a man, but I've had kids, and I've stood there, but I have not gone through the process, never will. All right? But women have gone through, that have kids, birth pains. And what takes place in that is, they have a contraction or they have a pain. The closer they get and the more intense they get, the closer to delivery is. The same is true with the church. The wars and rumors of wars will ratchet up. They'll become closer and more intense. Why is Israel involved? Because the end is coming. The famines will be closer in nature. The storms and the earthquakes will be more intense, closer in nature. All those are birth pains that the birth of the church being raptured is coming to a narrow place. That's what it's talking about. So Israel, a battle, is part of that. And you hear more about Israel more and more in the news. The Gaza Strip, the West Bank, Palestine, Iran, Iraq. All those places. That's where the church was established. Do you know Jerusalem is where the first church was established, pastored by James? That's where Jesus is coming back again. That's why when things are happening in Israel, it is a big deal. Because the church is solidified and tied to that. So that's why you have a stirring in your spirit about what's going, not a fear, not a worry, but an awe of what's Bible's coming to pass. The end is near. So I'm sharing this with you because I want you to understand that these things are happening because they have to take place. Do not, you cannot pray, let there be peace in Israel. There's not going to be peace in Israel. It's a holy war. It's prophecy. It's going to come to pass. People are trying to pray in a heartfelt way, but unbiblical way. And I've done it many times in my own life. Prayed for something and then read the Bible and was like, that wasn't even a scriptural prayer. And I wonder why I didn't get an answer. We, the church, need to come in alignment with Israel and pray. Yes, pray for their safety. Pray for, I understand praying for peace, but there's an element of it has to come to pass. It has to happen. But I want you to see something. That number one, deception is the key to the enemy's ways. And when you're deceived about something, what's the first thing that comes in? Fear. Fear. And when there's fear, there's trouble. There's worry. There's anxiety. There's doubt. What do all those things come against? Faith. They come against faith. That's actually what I wanted to talk about today, but today is kind of spent. But let's go to Luke 17. I hope you're getting something out of this. Luke 17, verse 20. The title there says, "The Coming of the Kingdom." And it says, "Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God does not come with observation.'" This is New King James Version. Other versions say, "signs that can be seen." So don't base the kingdom of God off of what you see in the natural. Base it off of the word of God. I'm sharing that with you because in all aspects of your life, if you base your decisions off of what you see, there's a good chance they're not going to be godly decisions. If you base your decisions off of what you observe in the natural, there's a good chance it's not going to be a godly decision. "Nor will they say, 'See here, see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you.'" Whew. I read that and thought to myself, praise be to God. I don't have to base anything off of what I see because the kingdom of God already lives in me. Yeah. And he lives in you. So what's happening in Israel? What's going through this end time? As we are going through the end of the church age, we don't have to be troubled. We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to worry and lose sleep at night because guess where the kingdom of God lives? In here. In the heart of me. And that's why you need Jesus. That's why you ask Jesus into where? Your heart. You have to accept the Lord. You have to repent of sin. You have to get sin out of your life. And if there's sin in here, that's affecting God's kingdom from operating through you. So when doubt and fear and unbelief creep in, it's cutting off your faith in the kingdom of heaven from operating. So you can read what the word of God says, but if you don't believe it with your heart, and you believe it based off of what you see, you do not see and operate in what the word of God says. And you can't live in peace and joy and comfort all the days of your life. When you don't allow the Holy Spirit to have full reign in your life and you allow sin in instead or fleshly desires in instead, that quenches the kingdom of God. But God is within the believer. And when you grab a hold of that and you hold on to that, you can say, it doesn't matter, come hell or high water, I know my God has me because he lives in me. That is the very hope of my existence, is eternal life, everlasting life, no matter what. I'm not saying everything that we deal with, there's not struggles, there's not difficulties out there, but they do not trump what's on the inside. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. So when that is your number one, nothing else affects it. Nothing can steal your joy unless you release of your joy. Nothing can have your peace. I can sleep very good at night, very much at peace. Do I have all the answers to everything? No. Do I know everything about what's happening in Israel and going? No. Do I know the whole Bible front and back? No. But I do know one thing. I have Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I know he died for me. And my sin is forgiven. And I'm on my way to heaven. And Paul says it. I don't worry about it. One thing I know. Jesus Christ and him crucified. And off of that foundation, I can live and move and have my being. That truth on the inside of me. So, church, grab a hold of that. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's where it starts. That's where the kingdom of God enters in. That's where peace and joy and love enter in. And your life is transformed from that place. And wherever Jesus is on the throne of your life, you will have victory. Even in your prayer life. Even in things that are around you, you'll have the blessing of heaven on you when others don't, because the kingdom lives in you and it doesn't live in them. So don't trust things that do not have the kingdom in them. Come on. If you're wondering how to vote, vote the kingdom. Amen. I don't care about Democrat or Republican. They're crooked on both sides. I don't care about Fox News. They're crooked on both sides. People are like, CNN, this is... Good for that. They're crooked. Fox News is crooked. They're man-made, and they have their own views. People write books about the Bible. It's still man has interjected their view. Nothing should come above the Word of God. Amen. Ever. Ever come even close to the Word of God. I don't care how good that man of God is. He's not Jesus. He's not Jesus. And if we take things that do not have the kingdom and we make them the kingdom of our life, we reap the fruit of that kingdom. But if we put the King of Kings and Lord of Lords the center of our life, then we reap that kingdom in our life. And no devil in hell can touch you. The gates of hell cannot prevail against where the kingdom is in operation. So if you're wondering about how New Freedom's doing, phenomenal. Because the kingdom of God is here. Amen. Because there is men and women of God that have the kingdom in them. Amen. And it's not just the leadership does not make the church. Amen. The husband does not make the home. Amen. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. I can do nothing without God. I am downright pitiful without God. I am miserable to be around without God. Wherever the kingdom is in operation, God is in operation, and it's blessed, and it has favor, and it has joy, and it has peace. And it's a great place to be. So place the kingdom of God priority in our lives. And don't allow things that are happening, prophecy come in the past, don't let that deter you. Don't let that get you get fear on you. Don't do it. Don't let fear come no matter what. I don't care... If the opposite person gets in the office in 2024, the United States is going to hell. Every single person that does not know Jesus is going to hell. This whole earth is going to be demolished one day. Because Jesus is coming back with a new heaven and a new earth. All these things are going to pass away. So if your focus is on all these things, you're going to pass away right with them. I can't say it any plainer. My heart breaks when I say it because I know there's people that are on that path and it hurts. It hurts in such a way you don't even understand. Maybe you do understand. If you have the heart of God, lost people break your heart. Even people that do you wrong, it breaks your heart because you know deep down they don't know the Lord. Family members, I know, do not know the Lord. It breaks my heart. But it doesn't break it in a way that it destroys my life and I don't want to be here. Because what good is that? What good is that if me as a believer, as light to the world, cuts my light off, hides it under a bushel? What good is it if I'm the salt of the earth, but I've lost my flavor? I lost my seasoning, the Bible says. I'd have zero impact to things around me. That's allowing the negativity and the darkness to have more power than the kingdom that's in me. When I bow to the world, I'm bowing to darkness. When I bow to an idol or worship something above God, it becomes an idol. And that kingdom operates in me. So these people, anyway, dare I say it, You know exactly where I'm going. People that worship Halloween, I'm telling you, you worship in demonic activity.
Come on, preach.
Say, it's just a piece of straw. It's just, you are lit. And I got straw and corn stalks and pumpkins at my house. I got them right on, up on my house. But I don't worship them. They're blessed pumpkins and blessed straw and blessed corn stalks. Amen. It's harvest time. Corn's running across the field. I mean, not corn. Combine's going across the field. That's demonic. Combine's going across the field. Amen. It's harvest time. You know, God bless you, dear. Yeah. People got to know I'm human, too. Amen.
That's right.
We make mistakes. But do not worship. Do not worship the essence of what Halloween is. Because you're worshiping the devil. And I can't. I don't know how to say it any other way. That's the truth. That's the truth. It's different, and I tell people, it's different. Easter, Resurrection Sunday, and Easter, and Christmas, and the day, the birth of Christ, that's how, those have been hijacked. But Halloween has no God in it at all. There's no God in Halloween. There is gods, but they're not the true and living God. I don't want to get caught up on it. What I want you to understand something. The kingdom of God is in you. And when you feed that kingdom, your light becomes stronger.
Amen.
And your walk becomes stronger. Your authority increases. Your power increases. The anointing of God increases in your life. So what you read and hear about, you start walking in and living in. And people see it. And people are attracted to it. And people are going to come to your house and be like, man, I needed somebody to pray for me. And I felt to come here. I don't know why I'm here. You know how many people have come to my house? I don't know why I'm here. I know why you're here. To get the hell out of you and get to heaven in you. Amen. That's why you're here, to get prayer and get your life changed for the glory of God. So when someone's brought in your life that you're like, how in the world? God wants to use you. He's got a kingdom in you that he wants you to share. Amen. So when you go to a family event and someone's pouring out their heart and you're like, I don't even know this family member. Who is this person? There's something the Lord wants you to do to impart to them, to help them. If someone comes to you about what's happening in Israel, let them know. It's a holy war. We stand with Israel. It's God's people. Amen. And it has to come to pass. But now's your time to get right with God.
Amen.
Now's your time to accept the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm going to give you that time right now. For anybody here online that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I pray you do so now. When I say I pray, it's I declare. My heart's desire is for you to know Him. To know Him. Everyone bow their heads and close their eyes. Hallelujah. That I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. If there's a struggle in your life, if you're dealing with something and you do not know the Lord, that's exactly the answer that you need. Is to accept Jesus. He'll bridge that gap. He'll give you peace with God. And He'll confirm in your spirit that you're a child of God. He'll remove the sin out of your life. He'll remove addiction out of your life. He'll give you a hope and a future. If you're listening online or here today and never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to pray a quick prayer, and I want you to pray it with your heart and lips out loud. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross and you rose again. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. And I'm on my way to heaven because I have Jesus in my heart." In Jesus' name, amen. The prayer of salvation. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, contact the ministry. Email us. We'll send you something. We'll pray for you. And we'll believe God. Get yourself into a church that believes the Word of God. The times we're living in, the church must come together. Has to. As you see the day approaching, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves. As you see, the day is approaching. The time is now. If you have sin in your life and you want to repent, the time is now. Same prayer. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. He'll deliver and take that sin out of your life that quick. If you need healing, same thing. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Jesus, I thank you that you bore stripes on your back for my healing. I receive your healing now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you're listening online, it works the same way. Put your hand on a part of your body that's in pain, or you got a bad report from the doctor. It may not even be a pain or anything physical, but it may be a bad report. Maybe you got a physical and it's like you have high blood pressure. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, take that report and say, in Jesus' name, I'm clear. I have great blood pressure. Don't wait for the symptom to start praying. Don't wait for the symptom to start praying. Not that it's too late when you have a symptom, but pray for His divine healing upon your body, divine protection. Thank you, Lord. I'm whole by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those online, thank you for listening. We love you. Have a great week. For those here present,